Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. And happy Father's Day, everybody, for all of us fathers who still have to work today, although mothers don't have to work on Mother's Day because that's on a Sunday.
That's right.
But, of course, August 8th sometimes does not fall on the weekend. So I guess we have to work today, but that's okay. I just love work. That's what I live for. And today we are talking about our News Watch unit. It's also our all English lecture. So we're not going to speak any other languages besides English, although English itself is kind of a, how would you describe it? It's kind of a mishmash of all sorts of other languages, borrowed from French and Greek and Latin and stuff like that. But basically, we're speaking our native tongues, aren't we, today, Stephanie?
Yeah, we are. We have two stories for you. One is about smartphone zombies, people who just have their smartphone in their hand all the time with their head bent down looking at the phone.
I think that's bad for your neck, isn't it?
Well, of course it is. Ignoring the world around them. They drive me crazy. I go out and walk either in the early morning or late evening. They get into people's way because they're not looking. They drive me nuts. We're going to talk about how these zombies are being helped out by some technology. And another story is about a breathalyzer. It's an instrument or device that you breathe into. It was first invented to test whether someone was drunk while they were driving a car. But this breathalyzer can diagnose 17 different diseases. Pretty cool.
So these are our two news stories for today. We'll read through them first, and then we'll come back to break them down for you.
Ground-level crosswalk lights to help smartphone zombies. The Dutch town of Bodegraven has installed ground-level crosswalk lights to prevent distracted smartphone users from walking into busy roads. Careless smartphone users, often described as smartphone zombies, seldom pay attention to their surroundings. Therefore, they may walk into people or objects, or worse, into oncoming traffic. In order to reduce the risk of accidents, the town has come up with the idea of putting lights on the ground so that they catch the eyes of people staring down at their phones. They are designed to match regular traffic lights, so they glow red when walkers should halt and green when it's safe to cross. However, a Dutch road safety group has urged people not to rely on these lights and to always check for approaching vehicles. Right now, only three of Bodegraven's pedestrian crossings have these lights, which are being trialed to measure their effectiveness. HIG Traffic Systems, the company that designed them, plans to offer them to other towns in the future, while a similar project is already underway in Augsburg, Germany.
New breathalyzer can diagnose 17 diseases. A team of international scientists has invented a new kind of diagnosis device. All a patient has to do is breathe into it, and the device can check for the signs of 17 different diseases. The breathalyzer does this by detecting volatile organic compounds, VOCs. The presence of certain VOCs could indicate the presence of various diseases. For example, the VOC isoprene is associated with diabetes, kidney disease, and liver disease. The breathalyzer can also check for various cancers, bowel disease, and more. In one trial study, 1,400 people from five different countries were invited to use the breathalyzer. The team used artificial intelligence, AI, to search a database for diseases that matched each person's VOC profile. An additional check was then performed by comparing the sample with that of a known sufferer of the disease. The AI was able to diagnose the patients with an 86% success rate. The breathalyzer needs further testing, but the researchers hope it will become a quick and easy tool for doctors to use in the future.
We're going to dive into our first story, guys. The headline reads, ground-level crosswalk lights to help smartphone zombies. This sounds like something we need here in Taiwan. Do you know, I went to Europe a couple of months ago, and I noticed not as many people were looking down at their smartphone while they were outside walking. Yeah, there were some, but it's really, I think, a problem here in Taiwan. Everybody has that phone in their hand and has got their head bent over it.
Well, you went to Paris, right?
I did.
And there's tons of nice old architecture to look at and paintings and coffee shops and other kinds of beautiful sights. And Taipei, well, we love Taipei, but really, what is there to look up at? You might as well be looking down at your phone.
No, you look around at people and you smile. And
well,
engage.
Yeah, look around at people who are all looking down at their phones. Boy, is that something interesting to look at. But in any case here, we're talking about ground level crosswalk lights. Okay. Mm-hmm. Usually we have traffic lights at intersections for both traffic and pedestrians, but these lights are ground level lights. Ground level means they're at the level of the ground.
Yeah.
Okay. Level here with the hyphen in front of it is often used to talk about your position in terms of height versus sea level, right? So sea level would have the hyphen there. Sea level. We are 20 meters above sea level here, for example. Well, this is ground level at the level of the ground, and these lights are at crosswalks, and they're going to help these smartphone zombies. Okay, that's our term for a Chinese term that I'm forbidden to say right now because this is an all-English lecture.
Yeah.
But the Chinese term basically means the tribe who bend their heads, okay? Try to figure that out, okay? And we say zombies or smartphone zombies, people who are basically addicted to their smartphones. Zombies are kind of like those creatures who like are dead bodies that kind of come to life, but they don't really have any soul, so they are being controlled by somebody.
I think some of our listeners probably have watched Walking Dead, which is a very popular show in the States, and it's filled with zombies. My sister loves it. It's not really my thing, but that's a zombie example. Someone who's dead is been brought back to life, and they look really scary. I wanted to mention, Tom, that crosswalk, if you're in England or the UK, is called or referred to as the zebra crossing. I see zebra crossing a lot when we look at different types of teaching materials, but in the States, we call it a crosswalk.
It's kind of weird because when I came to Taiwan, that was referred to. Well, I can't use the Chinese,
oh, no Chinese
here, but
Tom.
Basically the Chinese term is a zebra crossing, basically.
Yeah.
So I thought that's what they called it here. So when I heard people saying zebra crossing for places like London, I thought, oh, that means they're just mistranslating it. They're getting it from the Chinese. No, actually, that is a real term in English. I have never been to London,
yeah.
So I didn't know that. But as far as the Yankees are concerned, Americans here, we say crosswalk, whereas the Brits will say zebra crossing. Okay.
I got really excited there for a minute, Tom, because you said Yankees, and I thought, oh, we get to talk about baseball. No, Yankees is a term we are often called as Americans. Came from the East Coast, the Yankees back there. So let's dive into this. We've got a Dutch town of Bodegraven or Bodegraven. Neither of us speak Dutch, but they have installed ground-level crosswalk lights to help prevent these smartphone users from walking into busy roads, being hit by a car, and dying. Mm. So if you install something, you usually have a piece of technology, typically. For example, you're going to install software, or maybe you're having a new air conditioner installed in your house. It just means to place or fix equipment somewhere so that you can start to use it. And here they're installing these ground-level crosswalk lights to help crazy smartphone users.
Or especially distracted smartphone users, and it will prevent them or stop them from walking into busy roads and getting run over and injured or possibly killed, okay? So if you're distracted, that means you're unable to concentrate on something. Mm. If you're out there walking on the sidewalk, you should be paying attention to traffic conditions. It is dangerous out there, but people have got their smartphones out, so they are distracted. A related term is distraction. That's the noun. That's something that causes you to lose your focus. You cannot concentrate because of a distraction. For example, I cannot work at home because there are too many distractions, too many things that take my attention away from my work. So I tend to like working in the office instead of at home. But in any case here, distract is the verb. That means it's causing them to lose their attention. And because of that, they may forget where they're going. And I'm sure there are tons of videos on YouTube showing people looking at their phones and running into various things or crashing when they're driving their car while they're looking at their phones, etc.
Yeah, I'm sure all of us have had the experience of either being run into by someone who's got their head down looking at the phone. One time I actually had to put my arm out so this girl wouldn't cross the road. There was a car coming and she was just kind of, you know, into her phone.
She should have given you some kind of a reward or something.
She said thank you and I got a nice smile. So these careless smartphone users are often described as smartphone zombies. You can be a zombie sometimes. We use this term to talk about maybe someone who hasn't gotten a lot of sleep and they just look like they're, you know, their eyes are dead and they're not filled with energy. A lot of times teenagers look like zombies if they've been up too late at night and didn't get enough rest. Well, they seldom pay attention to their surroundings. Therefore, they may walk into people, happens all the time, or objects. I haven't seen that yet, but, you know, it's not too difficult to walk into a wall if you're not paying attention. Or worse, and this is the really bad scenario or case, is the oncoming traffic. Oncoming traffic is traffic that's coming towards you.
Exactly. Traffic in the intersection and stuff like that, so you don't want to do that. And in order to reduce the risk of accidents, the town has come up with the idea of putting lights on the ground so that they catch the eyes of people staring down at their phones. Okay, so this town, again, Bodengraven in the Netherlands, has come up with this idea in order to reduce the risk of accidents, to stop pedestrians from getting hit by cars. They have come up with an idea. This is a phrase here, to come up with an idea. That means you think of this idea as a possible solution to a problem. And so they thought of this idea, and they're going to put those lights at ground level to stop those people who are staring at their phones. If you stare at something, you just look at something with great concentration, and you don't look away.
Yeah, you're staring if you've got your eyes on somebody or something for quite a long time. Usually you can tell if someone's interested in you, if they're staring at you a lot. So these are the kind of lights that look like or match regular traffic lights. You know how we have the red, yellow, green? So that if they're glowing red, glowing just has that really bright feel to it. They're glowing red when walkers or these smartphone zombies need to stop or halt. Halt is a word that means stop, but we don't use it typically. You will hear it in some movies. For example, The Sound of Music, halt, you know, was the word the Nazi soldier used to stop them from running. Halt, it just means to stop. And then if the light is green, of course, it's safe to cross.
However, a Dutch road safety group has urged people not to rely on these lights and to always check for approaching vehicles. Yeah, I guess in some ways it's kind of like saying, well, you should not accommodate these people. They still need to be responsible for their actions. And this is a road safety group. They're saying, yes, you still need to rely on yourself and do not rely on these lights. They have urging people. That means you basically tell them this as a bit of advice. You try to persuade them to do something. So they're urging people, hey, don't rely on these lights. Don't depend on them. Open your eyes and watch where you're going.
Yeah, urge to me also has that feeling of a lot of emotion. Please watch where you're going. So they're trying to get people not to rely on the lights. I think it's, first of all, it's too expensive. Right now, governments are short on cash.
Right.
So that's kind of crazy. And I don't think you should start relying on those lights. I think it will make them even less likely to look up. So it's an interesting idea, but I don't know if it's going to help. And if the vehicle is approaching, it's kind of like the oncoming traffic idea. It's coming towards you. If you rely on something, you depend on it. I like to rely on a GPS when I'm traveling abroad or I don't know the area. That girl's voice that tells you where to go can really be helpful. We used it a lot when I was in England. We didn't know where we were. I did want to mention, too, Tom, that halt is not a word that is usually spoken aloud. You'll see it, so you need to know what it means. But I would say you typically won't hear someone say, yeah, I forgot to halt when I was nearing the traffic lights. That sounds crazy. But we do use it in written form and, of course, in some cases, in movies, you'll hear it, halt, but it's not a word we use in conversation typically.
Exactly. Well, here's the last paragraph of our first story. It says, right now, only three of Baden-Graven's pedestrian crossings have these lights. A pedestrian crossing is, like we said, a zebra crossing, and they're being trialed to measure their effectiveness. Here, the word trial means they're being tested. Mm-hmm. They're being tried out to see what happens.
Yeah, I've never used trialed as a verb, but I think that's a good way to put it. They're trying them out. HIG Traffic Systems is the name of the company that actually designed them, developed them, and they plan to offer them to other towns in the future. So that's kind of fun. While a similar project is already underway in Germany in a town called Augsburg. Mm. Right now, guys, we're not going to give you our Chinese teacher, but we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're talking about news today. We just finished talking about the headline, Ground Level Crosswalk Lights to Help Smartphone Zombies. And we're moving on now to some new technology. We're talking about a breathalyzer. It's kind of a fun word. I don't know if they had that word when I was a girl, a young girl. But it's an invention that was first used to test drunk drivers or people for DUIs, driving under the influence. I know a couple months ago, Tiger Woods was arrested for a DUI.
That naughty boy.
Yeah, but it wasn't alcohol. He was actually under the influence of prescription drugs.
Okay, so he got off the hook.
No. You're still on the hook.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, fair enough. Yeah. But in any case, that's another story. We're talking about this breathalyzer, which, as you said, usually is used to test someone's alcohol level in the bloodstream so you can nail them for drunk driving if you're a police officer trying to nail someone. But this is actually a trademark term, I believe, so breathalyzer you will sometimes see with a big letter B at the beginning. But this particular one, it's not for testing drunk driving. It's for testing to see if somebody has some kind of a disease. It can diagnose 17 diseases, and here we have the word diagnose or diagnose as a verb. That just means usually have a doctor to determine what kind of sickness someone has.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. So if you diagnose something, you're doing lots of testing, and at the end, you kind of figure out what you're looking at, what kind of disease or problem someone has. If it's a device, it's a piece of equipment. Typically, a device isn't huge. Should be a little bit smaller, but it's something that's used usually for scientific purposes. You could call your smartphone a device, right?
Yeah.
You could call your GPS system a device. All a patient has to do is breathe into it, and the device can check for the signs of 17 different diseases, which is amazing to me. The breathalyzer does this by detecting volatile organic compounds. And if you're a scientist, you'll know what that is. VOCs. I've never heard of them, Tom.
Me neither, but the word volatile here, sometimes pronounced volatile, means that something can change rapidly and it can cause trouble. And in this particular case, when I see the word volatile, I think, ooh, that means something's bad. Something could cause trouble.
Something can explode or, you know, become dangerous. Yeah.
Exactly. So these are organic compounds, chemicals that could cause problems. And the presence of certain VOCs could indicate the presence of various diseases. So if this device can detect VOCs, that could also tell us or indicate that some diseases may be present. It could indicate or tell us about the presence of different kinds of diseases. That's what various means here, just an assortment of different kinds of things. It could be one of many different kinds of diseases.
Wow. For example, the VOC isoprene is associated with diabetes, kidney disease, and liver disease. Those are all bad things. Isoprene, I was just looking this up, it's a volatile or volatile liquid hydrocarbon that comes from petroleum. Petroleum is where we get our oil and gas from, so that's kind of creepy. And it's associated or linked with, connected with diabetes, which is a disease where your body produces not enough sugar or too much sugar. I don't know which it is.
It doesn't control insulin or doesn't produce insulin. It or it won't be absorbed into the cells and stuff like that. It's kind of complicated. In Chinese, it's sugar pea disease. But in any case here, we don't say that in English. It's diabetes and diseases that have to do with your kidneys. That's an organ in your body. The liver is another organ. That's the one that's on top of your stomach. So this particular VOC isoprene could indicate those various sicknesses. And the breathalyzer can also check for various cancers, different kinds of cancer, also bowel disease, and more. Bowel disease has to do with your lower intestines, basically. You might have some problems down there, and the breathalyzer can check for those kinds of things, along with different kinds of cancer, maybe throat cancer, skin cancer, lung cancer, etc. Those are different kinds of cancers.
And as they always do with things like this, either devices or new medicine, they're going to have trial studies where they see how effective or maybe ineffective something can be. So they had 1,400 people. That number is 1,400, but just know that most foreigners like Tom and I, we're going to say 1,400 because it's faster. 1,400 people were used in this trial study, and they came from 5 different countries, and they were invited to use the breathalyzer. So this is how they tested it. The team used artificial intelligence, which is AI, to search a database for diseases that matched each person's VOC profile. If it's artificial, it's fake. It's man-made. It's not natural. And intelligence is the ability to think and reason. And if you've been paying any attention at all to what's going on in the world today, you know that AI is a big deal and that robots one day are going to replace us doing everything because they have AI, artificial intelligence. Whereas man or woman, we have natural intelligence. So if you're intelligent or you have intelligence, you have the ability to acquire knowledge, to apply knowledge, to reason, and to have those sort of logical skills to think things through and make decisions.
Well, I don't know if I trust artificial intelligence there. They may find out what disease we have, and then they just won't tell us that we have that disease.
Because they're trying to take control of the world.
They're trying to take control of the world, so we better watch out. But in any case, they're searching the database for these diseases that match those VOCs, and then they get this VOC profile. A profile is like a cross-section. It's like general information about something. A profile could be like your picture from the side, but in this particular case, it's just like a general assessment of your medical condition.
It's often used in crime TV shows or movies where they'll have a criminal profile, which some detective will say, well, the person we're looking for fits this description. They had a terrible childhood. They don't associate with people. They're loners. That's their profile. So it kind of gives you some characteristics of a person that can then be used to catch this criminal. So that's where I see profile sometimes.
Sounds good. An outline of something. Yeah. And an additional check was then performed by comparing the sample with that of a known sufferer of the disease. So they're kind of cross-checking here to see if the AI results matched real results in the real world. Mm-hmm. So in this particular case, the AI, the artificial intelligence, was able to diagnose the patients with an 86% success rate. That sounds pretty successful there. So they were able to actually I guess they were sort of cross-checked, I guess. Mm-hmm. They did the analysis with the AI, and then maybe they talked to real doctors or something like that and made sure that these people actually have these problems. And the AI and detecting those VOC profiles and stuff were actually pretty accurate, 86% of the time. Would you say that's pretty high?
Yeah, it's pretty high, unless you were part of the, 14% that wasn't detected. You know, you're hoping that when you do these tests at the hospital that they'll detect your cancer in case you have cancer.
Yeah, I'm almost afraid to use that breathalyzer because it might find something.
Oh.
I'd rather just not know.
Oh, you don't want to know.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
Maybe if I don't know, then I won't get sick.
That's why we go and have our physicals, a physical checkup once a year to see how your body's doing. I wanted to mention that diagnose here is pronounced with a Z, although they spell it with an S. Diagnose something. But the noun form of this word, diagnosis, is an S. Diagnosis. Diagnose. So it's pretty accurate. I'd like to see it get up to like 99% before I would really trust it fully. You should always depend on your doctor, of course. You want to work with a real human being. The breathalyzer needs further testing. As with most things, especially things that are in the field of medicine and medical treatment and medical devices, they always test quite a bit because, you know, they're going into people. They're being used with real people who have families, and we'd like to make sure that these treatments are successful and that people get well. Well, it's going to be tested more, but researchers hope it will become a quick and easy tool for doctors to use in the future. I haven't seen any of this sort of news story out there yet, so I'm going to be looking around to see if they make more developments in the future.
And I'm also kind of hoping that this particular device won't require a really big machine to operate. It could actually be something you could carry around in your bag or something like that.
So you would check yourself every day for your diseases?
Could be, or family members or something like that. Who knows?
Well, a breathalyzer itself is pretty small. You've seen them, haven't you?
For that, detecting alcohol levels. Mm-hmm. But this sounds like it's much more complicated, and it might, you know how drug companies are. You know, they'll develop this thing, and they'll test it, and then they'll release it on the market, and it will cost, how many millions of U.S. dollars? And you'll have to have a major insurance policy to actually use the thing in the hospital. So.
You know what? I don't think they're going to sell this just to the public. I think it's going to sell to medical organizations, hospitals, doctors, people who have training behind them to actually use this piece of equipment or device. So I'm not worried about that. But yeah, it's going to be out there pretty soon. It's nice that we're coming up with other ways to diagnose diseases. I know we've talked about the dogs who are able to diagnose whether their owners have something
right,
wrong.
Right, because they can smell it.
It's amazing. Know? Yeah, so I think we're going to see more of this kind of thing.
Also because the population is getting older and older all the time, and doctors are becoming few and far between,
fewer and fewer,
A lot of people just aren't pursuing careers as doctors or nurses because it's just not worth it. You work overtime, you work 12-hour shifts, and you don't get paid as much as people who work 6 or 7 hours a day at a software company and drive a Mercedes-Benz back home every day and own 5 apartments and stuff like that. Who wants to be a doctor in situations like that? But hopefully this device will help us in the future as we continue to get sick and we want to keep death at bay. Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. Thank you for joining us, and please join us again next time. Here's wishing you the best in health from all of us here at English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie. Goodbye. See you later.